Good morning to each one of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been a blessing already to be here. And my heart is, you know, I think in Revelation chapter 7, it says that they're going to be gathered around the throne of God from every kindred, every nation, and every tongue. And my heart has always been that the world could see a replica of that here in a local church body. And we're experiencing that here this weekend, I hope. But in our local bodies, that we each one of us could experience a replica of that. And I think it's healthy for us. I think it's good for us. And so that's been my heart, and that has motivated me to reach out and to minister, and through that I've gotten to know a lot of dear brothers, and many of them are here today. So I'm thankful. So I think on your programs the title says Culture Over Christ, I Will Not Change. So you know, we are surrounded with culture all around us. We are not going to get away from culture. The society we live in has a culture. Each home here represented today has a culture of its own. Is that not right? Each home here represented has a culture. Each church represented here today has a culture of its own. The workplace has a culture of its own. And every country, I believe, has a culture of its own. But the question is, does our culture take precedent over the gospel? Does our culture take precedent over Christ? I think Brother Benji shared some of these things last night, but some of you were not here. Culture is a set of behaviors, values, and beliefs that a group of people share and pass down through generations. It includes the ways a society tells stories, celebrates, and imagines the future. Culture is a complex concept that encompasses both physical and non-physical aspects of society. Some of the physical aspects are art, literature, food, music, dance, architecture, and fashion. Some of the non-physical aspects are beliefs, values, customs, traditions, and ways of living together. Culture is dynamic and ever-changing, with new beliefs, new values, and practices replacing older ones. I want to repeat that culture is dynamic and ever-changing, with new beliefs, values, and practices replacing older ones. You know, as you talk to people, especially as you minister, you know, they say we're evolving, we're getting smarter, we're getting more wiser, they say. That's what they say, even though we know that they're not. But, and so culture is ever changing. There's new beliefs, there's new values. It's shaped by a variety of factors, including regional traditions, religious beliefs, and historical experiences. The environment also plays a role in culture, sometimes encouraging or permitting the use of certain culture traits. But not all culture is conducive to the Christian culture. So, in large part, the message that the Lord laid on my heart is an exhortation that there are some cultural things that, which may vary from person to person, that there needs to be a willingness to change in order to get in line with the biblical culture. And so I'll just read that again. Not all culture is conducive to a Christian culture. So in a large part, the message I want to share today is an exhortation that there needs to be a willingness to change cultural things that are not in order to get in line with the Christian Christian culture, the biblical culture. And so, today, I just want to, you know, share this message as an exhortation. Are we willing to change, to give up some things in order to come in to the Christian way of life? Culture holds much sway and power over men and women and keeps them from Christ. I've seen that growing up. Many of you have experienced that. Culture has much sway and power over people and keeps them from coming to Jesus Christ, the Savior who died for them. And so Jesus said and told Thomas in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so I have a little paper here. I hope you can all see it, and I'm going to be using it as an illustration today. I'm going to tape it up, maybe on the back of the wall here to get a little higher. I thought of doing it in front of the pulpit, but I don't know if I'll just read it here then. Sometimes little illustrations can be very helpful. But here's that middle here is a picture of a road. You know, it's a line through the way. And this road is called the way, the truth, and the life, right? There's life here. It's the way. It's the way to Jesus Christ. And then, you know, on the in the both ditches, you know, you have, or either side, or whichever one you want to call it, a ditch or either side, you have the religious culture. On the other side, you have the American culture or secular culture. And, you know, and so Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And so we all need to come into this culture, this way of life. In Acts chapter 5, verse 20, the angel came to Peter and John as they were in prison and to release them there and said, go, stand, and speak to the people all the words of this life. There's a life there. There's a culture there, you could say. Go, stand, and speak all the words of this life. There's a life there. And so we need to be able to differentiate what is biblical life versus what is culture. And so there is a life to live, but this life trumps all cultures. It's over all cultures. Brother Rich shared some of this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross by his blood to make himself twain. It doesn't matter where your culture is, to make one man, you know, make us one in unity, to walk together. And so it's God's desire that every born-again believer in here would come together in the biblical culture, in the Christian life. And the Apostle Paul, he was willing to change. If we have our Bibles, we can turn to Philippians chapter 3. We know many of us probably know the account well there in Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 10. And one thing I want to point out, the word culture, you're not going to find it in the scripture, but there are other words that have the same meaning. You'll see the word manner. You'll see the word customs. And that's referring to culture in the Bible, manner and customs. And so over the next 2 days, I'll be sharing some on those words, bringing out examples. And so Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 here, the Apostle Paul, He had a very religious culture. He was on this side, and he and as we know the scriptures, you know, there was a big battle all the time. I got American culture here, but we can also just use Gentiles. I use American because that's the culture we're living in today. But, you know, there was a big battle all the time between here and here. And the Apostle Paul was willing to lay that down to walk in here in the biblical culture. So let's read here, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And I want to stop there just a little bit. You know, a lot of cultures have a lot of confidence in their flesh, right? They have a lot of confidence in their flesh. Look what we do. You know, we're different. And we can accomplish things. And so Paul laid all that down. Many cultures have confidence in their flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And so here we read in verse 8 through 10 of the life that is here. Paul counted all those things over here, dung. Dung is basically a pile of manure. He counted all those things over here, dung, that he may embrace the Christian life, the light Christian culture. And so that's my heart here today, you know, that we come from many different cultures, that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're coming from this side or this side, that we can all come count everything but dung, that as Brother Rich shared, we may be one. There's one faith. There's one way. There's one life. And that's where we want to go. There needs to be a willingness to change things that are not conducive, that don't fit in here. And Matthew 13:44 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, when he has found this, he goes and he sells everything he has and buyeth the field. And so that's my heart. And the strong effect of culture keeps men from selling out for Christ. And we have an example of this in John chapter 9. I'm going to turn there. John chapter 9, and I'm sure many of us can think of even present day examples of where people only come so far and are not willing to sell out. We need to be willing to sell out. It says, for joy he goes and sells. He's recognizing what's here in the life has way more value than what's on either side of the way, the truth, and life. And so, John chapter 9, verse 18 here, we have Jesus just got done healing the blind man by the pool of Siloam. And verse 18 says, the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Now look at verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. They feared their culture. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Now, how many of you as parents in here would have a child? I don't know how old this man was, maybe 30, maybe younger, maybe older. He's been blind all his life and would not come on it to his side and rejoice and just be. He's able to see. He's able and rejoice with him. But these parents pushed him off the side because their culture had a grip on him. Their culture would not let them rejoice with their son. He was born blind, but now he can see. And so they wanted to remain a part of their culture instead of coming over here. His parents had the mentality, I will not change. I will not change. And we have another example in Acts chapter 16. We have the account of Paul and Silas. Acts 16, verse 19. They are in the city of Philippi there, and there's revival coming to that city. They're going down having prayer. Lydia gets saved, and this young lady is bugging them every day, and the Apostle Paul realizes that what she's saying, she was saying some good things, are coming from the powers of darkness, and they took action and cast out the demons. And verse 19 says, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Look at verse 21. And teach customs or cultures which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. So these Romans here, they missed out a blessing. They missed the blessing of life because they said, these men are teaching cultures. Paul and Silas were teaching this culture right here. They were teaching the way, the truth, and life. And they says they teach customs, or they teaching a culture that is not lawful for us to receive. And many cultures today do that. The Romans were saying it's against our culture. Many cultures today are not willing to change, and so they just they said it's not lawful for us to receive this. I remember when we first got converted, you know, it's a new way. It's a new belief. And so it's very much in effect still today, where we in our society, they had the mentality, I will not change. Many Jews miss Christ because of their culture. Many religious people miss Christ because of their culture and not willing to change. Many professing American Christians miss Christ because of their culture and unwillingness to change. Many Muslims miss Christ because of their culture. And the list can go on and on. You Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and they miss Christ because of their customs or culture. Acts chapter 6, turn back a couple. We have Stephen here. He's before the elders and the people and the rulers there, and they're setting up false witnesses and to testify against him. Verse 13, it says, and they set up false witness, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Or you could say, change the culture which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So, you know, this was actually an accusation But in one sense, it is true. Following Jesus Christ will change customs or cultures. Coming in here will change customs and cultures. So in one sense, this is true. You know, it'll change a custom or culture that we've grown up in, whether it's religious culture or the American culture or the secular culture. It will change. The Spirit of Christ will bring us into one body, and we are changed by the Spirit of the Lord into a biblical culture. There needs to be a willingness to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 here. Start reading in verse 12 here. Says 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12, "Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, and the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is up on their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You know, our title, you know, it says, Christ over culture, I will not change. If we're going to come in here, there needs to be a willingness to be changed by the Spirit of the Lord. Change from glory to glory, more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And so, my burden is today that many people are stuck with their cultural veil and are not willing to give it up and be changed, whether it's a religious culture or an American culture. They say they want Christ, but they're not willing to be changed into the same image from glory to glory. You know, you'll find over here many people talking Christ. You'll find many people over here talking Christ, but they're not willing to be changed here, as the Bible calls us to be changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And so I encourage you here today, I don't know where you're at in your journey, but let the Spirit of the Lord change you from glory to glory. God has more glory for you. He wants to change you from glory to glory, he says. So there's liberty to change into a biblical life or culture. You know, I want to just share briefly a little personal testimony. Remember one of the definitions of culture, I shared earlier, it's a set of behaviors, values, and beliefs that a group of people share and pass down through generations. And so I clearly remember over 20-some years ago, in 2004, my wife and I got converted. And prior to that, it was probably around 2002 and 2003, I clearly remember sitting in an Amish church service one Sunday morning, listening to the bishop preaching and what he was saying. The bishop there had a machine shop, and so he interacted with a lot of customers that would come from the American culture, you could say. And he was, and this Sunday morning, he was relating an encounter he had with someone, and apparently this man was a born again believer, and their conversation was on assurance of salvation. Apparently, he was witnessing to him. Well, we were taught that you cannot have any assurance of salvation. You need to do the best of your ability, and you need to wait on judgment and hope you did enough good to outweigh the bad, and God will give you grace on the day of judgment. That's what we were taught. And so this morning he was sharing sharing this encounter and exhorting the congregation to strengthen us in our belief. You know, this was a belief that was passed down from generation to generation. Culture is a shared beliefs that get passed down from generation to generation. So he was exhorting us. He was doing us his faithful duty. And, you know, and he didn't know better. And as of today, I don't believe he still does. But what stood out to me that day, you know, I believe it was the Lord that day trying to draw me to himself. I fully agreed with him in my heart. I was there. I fully agreed with him. But then the Lord must have brought this thought and said, it hit me like almost a ton of bricks. This is so sad that only the Amish people are going to make it to heaven. This is sad. Why are we not making more Amish people? And I'll never forget it. I can take you to the spot I was sitting. It hit me like a ton of bricks. This is sad. As he was relating that story. And so, but praise God. I thank God that he opened my eyes to the truth, and I was willing to give up my culture, my values, my beliefs that were passed down from generation to generation. And so many people miss Christ because of cultural beliefs. You know, and I remember a conversation, and just use you, Brother Benji, for example. I hope that's okay. I remember, you know, we had a lot of sweet time and sweet fellowship together in those beginning years. And I remember Brother Benji and I were having a conversation on the head covering. They weren't covering at that time yet. We dialogued and we dialogued for a long time sitting in my truck that one afternoon. I don't know if you remember that. But, you know, he wasn't there yet. But praise the Lord. You know, he was willing to give up his culture to come into the way, the truth, and life. Praise the Lord. He was willing to change his culture. And so we, you know, it doesn't matter where we come from. We need to be both willing to come in here and lay down our culture and be one, as we already heard. And it can be a blessing and living the biblical life together. As I shared earlier, my heart's desire is that, as in Revelation chapter 7, that all nations, people, kindred, tongues can come together and be a replica here. So I've seen people come out of here, over here, and they come in here and embrace this life for a little bit, then all of a sudden they just step out on the other side and embrace another culture. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to react. We don't want to come out of one side and go into another. I've seen people come out of here, into here, make a loop, and go right back in again. And their children are involved in the things that their parents repented of, immorality and everything their parents came out of and embraced, wanted truth. And, you know, and a lot of it was because they were not willing to go all the way. It's a way. You know, there were things here that were going to be required of them, and the cost was too great. And believers' baptism was one of those things that cut and divided where they went back. You know, and so, and then I've seen people come out of this culture too, come in here and then just loop right back out again. And so my encouragement today, you know, the things we lay down, let's continue to be, let God change us from glory to glory and not give up, you know, when we're in here, but to endure until the end. Cultures can be a stronghold. When trials come in here, you know, there's a tendency of the human to go back to what they're comfortable with. When trials come, there's a tendency that people, you know, go back to what they're comfortable with. And so, you know, our cultures that we grew up in are ingrained in us, and there's a tendency there to be comfortable there and go back, whether it's here or here, when trials come here. And so I encourage you, you know, you have the example of the children of Israel. When trials came in the wilderness, what'd they say? We want to go back to the leeks and onions. We were fed there. We were taken care of. But it's a life of faith here. It's a life of walking with Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:22 says, "But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." And so we need to be willing to change. We need to be willing to give up our culture. You know, we have some next-door neighbors that are from Kenya. They were refugees, and they ended up in our next-door neighbors. And so they would profess Christ, and we've got to know them and been invited to some of their services. And I've had opportunities to preach at some of their services. And we had discussions on especially on their worship service concerning the music, the drums, and the dancing. And so my question to him is, you know, should a worship service that is to God resemble a nightclub scene? Should, when we see in Revelations what's being worshiped around the throne of God, you know, they're on their face crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," should our worship service resemble a nightclub scene? I don't think it should, but all they say is, well, it's our culture. It's our culture. See, when we come in here, we need to be willing to change some of those things. Christ came to change us from glory to glory. We need to be willing to crucify cultural things that are not biblical and be willing to change. You know, recently I had a conversation with a man from over here, and he was sharing with me a conversation he had with the professing Christian over here. They would both profess Christian, and they were having a conversation on the head covering. This man over here was saying, you know, the scripture says it's her hair. And this man just looked at me and said, he told me the scripture and that's what it says. I guess we just done it because it's what we always did. See, he had no reason or no understanding of why we do it, you know. But, you know, when we walk in here and have the Spirit of the Lord changing us from glory to glory, and we're in the way, the life, and truth, we have answers. The Spirit of the Lord tells us why we do it. But, you know, if it's just handed down from culture to culture, it's not going to work. The man from over here said, "I really don't know." And so, are we willing to be changed by the Spirit of the Lord and know why we wear it? Because our heart is saying amen to the Word of God as we look in the mirror. It says here that, "But we all with an open face, beholding as a glass or a mirror the glory of the Lord." This Bible, this Word of God is a mirror. As we read it, as we look into it, we are changed from glory to glory and say amen to the Word of God. So, are you willing to be changed from glory to glory? We're sold out to the King of Kings. Culture doesn't stand in the way. Colossians 3:3 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Culture does not stand in the way to live the biblical culture, the biblical life. So, you know, just this week, I sat down with a young couple that's seeking God for direction in their life. And there's a lot of uncertainty. Where does God have it? And they're sorting through a lot of these things that have been handed down to them. What is right? What is biblical? And see, culture trains our conscience in a certain direction and needs to be renewed to walk the biblical life. Culture Whether you come from a religious culture or an American culture, our minds have been trained. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. You know, as you walk in here and look in the mirror, you know, our minds are renewed. As I came out, there were many things that I had to retrain my conscience. One simple thing, you know, was simply driving a vehicle. I'll confess, the first time I sat in and drove it, I was guilt all over my conscience. Guilt because it's nothing wrong with driving a vehicle. Some of you, it's hard for you to comprehend. You always drove one. But to jump in a vehicle and drive it, my conscience had to be retrained because of culture. And so my encouragement to each one of you, don't miss Christ, the way, the truth, and life because of culture. Don't matter if you're coming from here and here. We heard already this morning, he came to make us one. We can come from any culture, come in here, walk together, and be one, and be a light to the world. So God bless you all, and thank you for listening. Just one more quick thing, you know. It says here that we can be changed from glory to glory. Moses, he was changed when he beheld the glory of the Lord. He was changed. People saw the change. So God bless you.